Hey, it's Shay.
And Carissa with Over the Counter. Today we are talking to Tracy Clark, LPN, and also the cover model for our latest issue of The Scope.
Tracy has been a nurse at BBGH for 44 years. That's as long as BBGH has been a hospital. Tracy is known for giving the best patient experience and being a heartwarming nurse.
She is here today to talk about all the great things she has done. Enjoy! Did you know that we got our magazines today?
I kind of saw that over there.
Yes. Oh,
how cool is that? That is pretty sweet.
There you are in the
thank
flesh.
Thank you.
Cover model.
Oh, wow. And I whacked my, I'm so glad I styled hair then. Gosh.
Your hair looks good.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not what I had envisioned, but it's okay. And in the summer when it's so hot, yeah. I come in from the garden and you're sweating and I just get a shower and go foo 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 and it's kind of done, but it's good. Yes. I would be glad for it to grow, I must admit. Yeah.
Well, let's just start with a little bit of a background about yourself, whatever you want to share.
It
doesn't have to be...
Well, I've been here forever, like everybody knows. And I went to school here when it was still St. Joseph's Hospital, and it was the Alliance School of Vocational Nursing, and it was for 1 year for practical nurses. And so I graduated in September on the 18th, and I started working on the 19th.
Wow.
Yeah. And I worked 3 to 11s for a while, and then there was an opening for labor and delivery and nursery. And that's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So they trained me to scrub for deliveries. And that time, the LPNs actually did part of the labor, too. I mean, we took care of the moms while they were in labor. The RNs came in and checked them, but we did all of the charting, like how many minutes apart they were and everything. And then we scrubbed for the deliveries, and then we took care of the babies and the moms after that. I don't see how I did that. I was 19 years old. And yeah, but it was great. It was such a good experience. And then they built this hospital. So October 1st, we all came over here and started. And we had the weekend where it was just the nurses. And we were open for deliveries or I think some emergencies, but otherwise we didn't have any patients. They'd stayed at St. Joe's. So we were supposed to be learning where the x-ray was, where the lab was, how our beds, you know, everything, because we were all in this brand new hospital. And we worked 8-hour shifts then, and I'll never forget, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 7 to 3, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a gal came in and she was complete. She was ready to deliver. And so we had this mom and baby. We didn't even have a gown for her. We had little baby t-shirts for the nursery. At that time, when we worked in the nursery, we changed into what we call a scrub dress.
Okay.
So that's what the mom wore for her gown, for her patient gown, one of our scrub dresses.
Oh, no.
But it all went really well. I wish I could remember who that was, because that baby now would be going to be 4 years old. Yeah, because I was 16. So anyway, that was crazy. But we all just jumped in and did our stuff and went on from there. But it became a real hospital then. We weren't just finding stuff and playing like where our things were. I mean, we all just did our stuff.
So how does the opening of the hospital go? Like,
well, then it was... it was a really new, as far as technology and the way it was set up, because St. Joseph's was an old hospital. It was two stories and a basement, and it was, I think, built in the 20s or the 30s.
And it wasn't on this
area. It's not even, it was on Toluca.
Okay.
And it is where the playground is at St. Agnes.
Uh-huh.
They tore it down. They tore it down in like 1978. It actually had a a convent, they called it the cloister, and the nuns that were older, that's where they stayed, and we would take, and people would take care of them there. It had a chapel at a beautiful, and they had mass every Sunday morning, and it was beautiful. It had a marble, and it was the wood in that hospital was like, it was like the old wood you see in the homes that you see, you know, they were built in the 30s and 40s.
That all the carpet.
Yeah, the floors were old granite kind of floors, but some of the rooms actually were divided into three areas. So you had three patients in the same room.
Oh.
Yeah, and you divided them by screens, and the only bathrooms you had, some of them shared a bathroom like down the hall, or they'd actually put in bathrooms that were in the closet that you pulled a stool out of, kind of like you would in a camper.
Okay.
You've seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we come over here and we have two patients, and everybody had their own room still, because this would have been a patient room, and then you would have shared that bathroom with the patient over here. So that was like modern stuff. And it was all painted in oranges and yellows because it was the 70s. And I'm saying yellow, not just kind of pale yellow. It was yellow.
Like and vibrant yellow.
Vibrant yellow and vibrant orange. And that was the colors.
It's not very calming.
No, not at all. But they weren't, I think they just wanted to be so different than the grays and the, mostly grays and light blues, I think, over there. But yeah. Oh yeah, night and day difference. It's crazy. But it was a real transfer, because that was a Catholic hospital, and you reused stuff, and you were very frugal with things. And when we came over here, we had our own laundry and for a while, and so it was much more relaxed, and so that part was kind of better. But it did take a while. I mean, it was a huge change, but it was all right.
What kind of things did you have to reuse?
Well, like then at that, well, we didn't use them unless they were sterilized and clean, but okay. You actually took your needles and they re-sterilized them.
Okay.
You didn't throw stuff away.
Okay.
And so that was all very different. And the whole concept of now you use it once and you toss it, that isn't, you know, they just didn't do that. That just came with HIV and AIDS and stuff. That all kind of progressed, and your needles were, like even your IVs when I first started were actually like a needle in the arm that stayed in the arm. And now there, you put the needle in, you take it out, and you just have this tiny little tube. So all of that, yeah.
So did it take a lot for you to have to remember,
adjust.
Adjust to these new practices?
It you know, it came so gradually that you just kind of evolved with it.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, I would say my hardest thing was, and that didn't happen till what, the late 1990s or 2000, that we went to all computers and computer charting. That was very hard. That was hard for me because I hadn't grown up with that at all. Like you kids, that's your second nature. I mean, that's how you live. We did all paper.
Yeah.
Everything was paper. And when they decided to do that and they brought our computers and they would give us classes on how to get in and, you know, do the, you know, progress to find what you need to do for your notes and your vitals and stuff. That was major hard work for me.
Yeah.
Well, I helped in the lab for a while. I didn't even know what a mouse was.
Like a computer mouse?
Like a computer mouse. She said, I was trying to find out what patients needed draws and that kind of stuff. And Gail Burke was my, she was the head of lab then. And she said, well, Tracy, sit down here and I'll get your mouse. And when I'm looking for a mouse, it was so alien to me. But I learned a lot. The lab stuff helped me a lot. So then when I went to the floor and we had to start doing computers, that helped a little bit.
Yeah.
At least I knew what a mouse was and how to make it move. Oh, yeah. ask the IT people. I just start right off and say, I don't know what I'm doing, just get me through this. That's all I ask. You help me with my, I can't remember what it was that we have to do now, part of our performance evaluation stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought you helped me get into that, but Maybe. Anyway, I'm not good at that.
You're right, though. It's almost like people are just born with the knowledge.
I think they put a computer of some type, whether it's a toy or even the little music things that the babies have to punch the buttons that's on their little walkers and stuff. They're already pushing buttons.
Yeah. Well, I watch my best friend's 3-year-old work an iPad as though...
Oh, yeah. You know, it's scary.
How do they know? Like the screen touches.
Yeah, and they go through what they want. They get on the little menu and change games and they're apps, I should say.
They can't talk yet, but they can take. Perfect picture.
But they know how to work a Snapchat filter or all these things. Barely know how to work a computer. I'm part of that generation.
Yeah.
I applaud you for, you know, you're already a nurse and there you go, have to learn a whole nother career almost.
You actually do, and at points it gets discouraging because there was sometimes while we were going through that period where you think, I could have had this task done and had my notes written out and my intakes and outputs done and my vital signs. I could have had all those done in 5 minutes, and now I have to wait for the computer to come on. I have to get my password in and do all this stuff just to navigate to get these things charted. And sometimes that's frustrating, but now I'm so used to it, it doesn't bother me.
So at the beginning, you probably had some angst towards technology.
I
don't want to sit here and wait for the computer to turn on. I just want to go write it down on a piece of paper and call it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you had to learn some new patience with the fact you had to wait for technology to wake up so that you could get your job done. And I remember when they first said we were going to go to computer charting, and I said, well, when that happens, I probably will just be done because that's going to be too much for me. I'm not going to be able to do that. What's that? Probably been so 20 young. Years yeah. ago. I'd have been 20 at least.
Your career would have ended so quickly.
Oh, yeah, and that's why I didn't, because you're persistent. Yeah. You're not going to give up because you're still doing what you love to do. That is my challenge.
That's your challenge, is the technology?
The IT and the always. And ever changing, always changing.
Well, we're glad you persevered through it. Still here and didn't quit.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you left nursing?
I would have never left.
No. Your calling for this.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I actually worked at a preschool for a while, and because I had kids at home, and babies, and so I worked at the preschool, but then I did this like PRN, and I could come in, there'd be like shifts for 4 hours, and I could do that like in the middle of the night or whatever, and then I could actually took my two youngest ones to preschool with me, and so they grew up in the preschool, and then I have children spread from, they're almost 16 years apart from the youngest to the oldest.
Oh, wow.
So by the time I had Alyssa, Jess was almost 16. And so the older ones would be able to babysit the little ones for like those 4 hours.
Sure.
Yeah. We didn't do 8-hour shifts then. And I didn't do 8 hours till my kids got older. And I didn't have to have a babysitter. Mm. So, yeah. This is what I would have done.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Without a doubt.
What is one of the most fulfilling things that you've done with nursing?
I think that would be just when you come to work and you start with your patients and you make a plan on what you need to do to get them through their day, to get them better, to get them home. When you actually can see that improvement in their condition and that they appreciate that you're there and you start getting that rapport with them, mm-hmm. to be more than just the nurse that walks in and out of that room. You're actually somebody that cares about them and wants them to get better, mm-hmm. and can make them want to get better, because there are some people that really struggle with that, getting well and getting home. It's so easy to be sick. Anybody can be sick. Anybody can have surgery, but it takes a lot of work to get better, and you have to do baby steps. You can't just wake up from your surgery and I'm ready to go home and my arm's better, my leg's better, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to take baby steps, and you have to learn to teach people to take those baby steps to get better. I mean, you'd end up getting involved in their whole life, yeah. rather than just what they're here for. And that's the advantage of a small town too, because yeah. I see people I take care of all the time. And then if they have another surgery or get sick again, or have a family member, they'll come in and go, "Oh, Tracy, you're here. I'm so glad to see you." And you go, "Well, I'm sorry you're here, but I'm glad to be here to take care of you."
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really fulfilling.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I love that part. And of course, taking care of moms and babies is always fun.
Yeah. Would you say OB is your favorite?
I wouldn't say it's my, I would have used to said that's my favorite. I do still love it, but now that I've gotten older, I appreciate taking care of the older generation too, and keeping them comfortable and doing what it needs to make them comfortable, and their stories they can tell you. They have such wonderful stories. And I wouldn't have appreciated that when I was 19, 20, or even 30. But as you get in your 50s and your 60s, you begin to appreciate the fact that what they've gone through is huge.
Yeah.
And listening to what they've gone through makes them what they are. So you can kind of make that part of their plan to get them better, mm-hmm. because you know them more. So you ask them about their family, you ask them about their grandkids, you ask them how they grew up, where did they grow up at, what did they do, who was their wife, all those things, and then you can take better care of them as a whole person, rather than just them having pneumonia or something like that.
Patient A in room,
three. And I think you do that if you're in a bigger city, because you'd never see them again.
Yeah.
And that'd be that. It's really gratifying to see them get better and see them outside doing really well. And
Can you ever request, if you had to check into a hospital, could somebody request you as their nurse?
No, I don't think so. I be truthful with you?
Yes.
It doesn't make any difference probably if I'm your nurse or not. The girls upstairs will tell you that I don't care if I will go in your room and I'll visit with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be in and out of there and I'll bug you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They laugh at me about that because they can't find me sometimes. And so if I'm not in my patient's rooms, then I'll probably be in somebody else's patient's room. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all my patients. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I'm their primary or not. They are.
Aww.
Yeah.
Such a great approach.
Well, because you have to be a team. You really do. That one question about the scariest.
Mm-hmm.
I could go through my mind and the million of times that I was really concerned and anxious for a patient, but I never feel like you're afraid because you're not alone.
Yeah.
Because you do what you can do with your knowledge at that moment when you're right there, and then you call for your help that you need, and then you gather as a team, and then you start working on whatever it is that they need, and so you're not by yourself.
Yeah.
And
true.
I think that's hardest for new nurses because I think they're afraid they're going to be by themselves. And for the most part, for the basic stuff, you have to take responsibility of that stuff. But if your patient starts going south and you start really seeing some issues that are scary,
mm-hmm.
then you start getting help right away. So you're not alone in that room because you can't do it by yourself.
Right.
No way. And it is so much more efficient. Yeah, and Yeah. We just the other day, one of the girls needed an EKG, and she went to get it, and she said, I've never used this one before. And I, okay, well, let's go.
Let's go figure it out.
We'll do it. I've done it a lot, and with you and me doing it, it can be so much faster. And then I know what's going on with your patient, and you know what's going on with your patient, and if something happens while you're busy charting or who knows what, I'm still in the loop.
Yeah.
Which you have to be.
Yeah. So you're right. Everybody is your patient.
Yeah. Right. I guess you're right.
Tell us a little bit about how nursing has shaped who you are today.
Well, I know that's made me a better person. Mm-hmm. I know that because you have to be compassionate for others. You have to separate what your needs are from what somebody else's needs are and put those needs first. I think it's made me a more faithful person. I know that because by the time you help people through their last moments of their life, you have to have faith. And so that has made a difference. And I think it's just pretty much shaped me who I am, besides being a mom and a wife and a grandma and all those things.
An excellent gardener.
That's my therapy. Mm-hmm. That's my therapy. What a good place to go if you're frustrated to take the hoe and go chop some weeds. I mean, and pull these weeds and get them, take them out of your life and get rid of them. And then to watch stuff grow and baby it through. Yeah, gardening is, and I truly believe that if more people would get their hands in the dirt and get down to the earth, they'd be better people.
Yeah.
Because it's so basic. Mm-hmm. It's just it's what we're made out of. And so, yeah, get your hands dirty and don't be afraid to get down on your knees. And, yeah, spend some time in the sun and the wind and the rain. And, yeah, I love rainy days. Some people hate them, but I love them because I know I can go out as long as it's not lightning. But that's when your plants love it the most, and you go out and plant more plants.
Get those weeds out.
Yeah, because the dirt's good, so that works good.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
Yeah.
So I think being a caretaker is through and through who you are as a person, but when did you realize you wanted to be a nurse?
I think I kind of started leaning towards that when I was probably about 9. I remember I was in 4-H and we had a first aid class, just on basic first aid, like how to even like
the
set
day
up
would be
table.
So fine when I'm here.
Tune in next week for part 2 of Tracy's interview.
She has so many words of wisdom, stories that will inspire, and values she lives by. We couldn't just do one episode.
Thanks for listening today. We can't wait for you to hear part 2.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay well.
I could get lost in the rain and wander for hours, but my will is weak, and I don't have the powers to keep from dreaming of you. Now, girl, I've known from the start, so please don't depart. You cannot deny my love to reply, believe.